Are you interested in improving your health and fitness? I know you are. So, I made a podcast all about transforming your life with a changed mindset, good nutrition, and effective exercise. Head to supremeholisticfitness.com to find out more. Trust me, it's life-changing. Hey everyone, welcome to the Supreme Holistic Fitness Podcast, and I've got another episode for you. Our special guest, Jessica Chun, she's a registered dietitian. She's the nutrition consultant and owner of Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy, a nutrition, health, and fitness consultancy. She has a Bachelor of Science in Human Nutrition and Dietetics. She has a diploma in institutional and community nutrition and dietetics, and she has a master's in food and nutrition security. Jessica, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Kian. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So we have an interesting topic today.
Yes, we do. And folks, I just want you to know, and Jessica would also mention that food covers a wide range of many, many topics. So we'll try and get as much covered today, but if not, there can always be a part two.
Sounds good. Not a problem.
So Jessica, tell me about yourself. How did you get involved with nutrition?
Studying nutrition was kind of a stopgap measure. I didn't intend to actually become a nutritionist or a dietitian. I was out of school for a while and I was working full time, and I actually was pursuing a different career path. And so I thought, okay, I can't let too much time pass between finishing school and studying. So I said I would begin a degree in nutrition, see how it goes, and until I am ready to stop working full time and study what I wanted to. But along the way, I started to realize how dynamic and relevant and fascinating nutrition is. And it's just as relevant to your health because everybody eats. So I decided to switch and pursue nutrition full time. And that's how I ended up here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really, really interesting.
You don't always end up where you think you would. So, you know, you learn along the way.
Yes, you definitely do.
Yeah.
So I know you usually get questions. I definitely get questions as a fitness trainer as to how should I eat? I'm having problem with eating. So people would come to me and they would say one of their main struggles is their diet, what to eat. I don't know what to eat, and it's a really, really big struggle for most people.
Okay.
And one of the keys to actually eating healthy is to have a balanced diet. Ensure you get enough of everything. So what would you say a balanced diet looks like?
All right. So before I answer that question, I think we have to appreciate that your diet and how you eat, the how and why you eat, it's not a passive process. And that's one of the things I try to encourage persons to acknowledge and to accept. It's not a passive process in that you're just handed information and it will work for you automatically. You have to do some kind of introspection with respect to your food choices, your habits, things like your beliefs, your age, if you're sick, if you're managing a condition, any kind of illness. All of these things, among others, impact the how and why you eat. So cannot be that there's a one-size-fits-all for everyone, because what would be a balanced diet for you, Kian, being your age and your sex as a male and your activity levels would be different for me as a female. My activity levels would be different from yours. So all of these things we have to take into consideration. That being said, a healthy diet is one that supplies all the nutrients that you need for your age and activity level, in line with your beliefs and your preferences for food. Supplies all of those nutrients without toxic contaminants. So whether it's things like metals and lead, whether it's things like dirt or other kind of contaminants and things like bacterial contamination. So you have to realize that it's an individual thing. While as a profession, we make general guidelines, we give public health guidelines, when you're looking at an individual whose needs is very specific. So let me just clarify as well. A nutrient is something that you find in food that helps you to stay healthy. Now, really starting to fall where I am. I don't know if you're hearing it, but it's really starting to fall where I am. So you might get a little background noise. But a nutrient, are you hearing it? Are you hearing Doreen? Elizabeth? No? Okay, good.
That's your fine.
Okay, thanks. So nutrients are substances we find in food that help us to stay healthy. And they're two that most of us know, carbohydrates, protein, fats. But I can't just look at you, Kian, and say, okay, you need 10 grams of this or 5 grams of this. We need to get a little more information from you. So it's not a straightforward process. And anyone that could give you something just like that doesn't understand the science of nutrition, because nutrition is a science. Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. So we understand, you know, nutrition is a science. And a lot more people come to me, and I know as well to you. And the question that they usually ask is, how should I eat to lose weight? So how would you address that? It was a science, and someone comes to you, how do they need to eat to lose weight?
Okay. So theoretically, well, let me give this classic example. If we have our vehicle, okay, and we put quarter of the amount that we could into the tank, the car would only be able to, of the fuel that is, would only be able to run a certain distance as compared to if we put the entire amount, the entire contents that the tank could hold, all right? It should be able to run much further. But our bodies aren't made like that in terms of a straight equation. So you put in fuel and get a certain amount of mileage out. It isn't necessarily straightforward like that. Theoretically, yes, it should work because we put energy in the form of food and we burn that energy out in terms of what we do in our activity, but it doesn't really work that way because our body is a very complex system. And you have to take into consideration things like hormonal activity, stress levels, again, activity levels, even things like the ambient temperature. If you live in a hot country or cold country, all of that affects in terms of your ability to lose weight and how you use energy. So one of the things I would see a good place to start is to be aware of the energy dense foods as you consume. So when I say energy dense foods, you get a lot of energy, a large amount of energy in a very small amount of the food item. So sometimes energy dense foods could also be considered healthy foods as well, but you have to be aware again of what is important and relevant for you. So there's generally energy dense foods are things like very fatty or fried foods, all right? If you're having large amounts of those kind of items, things that are very sweet or contain lots of sugars or refined carbohydrates. When I say refined carbohydrates, I mean things that where you have the fiber removed or lots of added sugars. So those are things you want to try to limit in your diet as much as possible, especially if you're looking to lose weight. So some people would come to me and they tell me, okay, I'm trying to lose weight, I'm going to go on a food fast, or I'm going to leave out meat. And yes, if you want to leave out meat for religious and other reasons, fine, I would respect that, but you have to get protein. Because most times when persons leave out meat, they tend to overcompensate with carbohydrates. And excess carbohydrates in the body is stored as fat. So if it is that you're looking to lose weight, going on a fruit fast, or having lots of carbs, and not just carbs in terms of flour. We get carbs from fruits, we get carbs from vegetables, we get carbs from provision, we get carbs from peas and beans. So again, you have to know your food. And that's one of the things I would like people to take away as well. Part of the weight and weight management is acknowledging that you have to learn about food, and then you could be able to make choices. Because if you're not aware, then you know, would continue making bad choices.
Yes, yes, you do. Yeah. And mm-hmm. You mentioned something really, really crucial, which is, you know, the bad choices, you know, people make.
Yeah.
Sometimes they aren't aware they're making the bad choices. And as they continue to make those choices, they struggle. It's a huge, huge struggle for them, and they go around in circles as it relates
to... Yes, that yo-yo cycle. That's the thing, huh? You want to try and avoid that as much as possible. So you want to come to a place where you have sustained behavior change, and that's one of the things I try to encourage people. Don't just think about 2 weeks from now or 1 month from now. You want as much as possible to have, okay, next 6 months, next year, next 5 years, next 10 years. So it doesn't make sense going up and down with respect to your weight. And when you come to me as a dietitian, also, I am not just looking at your weight. I'm looking at any other health condition you may have. Because if it says that you're overweight and you lose the weight, also, you have to take into consideration, are you managing any condition? So I'm looking to see if you're managing your acid reflux, if you're managing your diabetes. And again, the way that I would recommend foods for you or eating plan for you would be different if it is you have these conditions. So I can give you two examples if we have the time. There was a lady I was working with some years ago, and she was overweight and she wanted to lose weight, but she had a really bad problem eating on time. Now, again, eating on time looks different for everybody, all right? But her issue was she was really bad. So I told her, you know what? Let's not focus on what you're eating just yet. Let's focus on eating on time, or at least eating regularly. And she started doing it. I told her, I don't care what you eat. Just try to eat at these particular times. And she was exercising. She was going to work. She had a family, etc. But again, we take it in small batches, all right? And she did start to lose weight. I wasn't pressuring her with respect to what to eat. Let's look at how you're eating in the first place and why you can't eat on time and making sure you can take 5 minutes from work to have a snack between meals or what have you. And she started to lose weight that way. All right. So that's one person. Another person I worked with more recently last year, she was diabetic and she also needed to lose weight, but she needed to exercise as well. So we had to do a drastic turnaround for her diet because, of course, if you're losing weight and you're diabetic, we have to pay attention to our blood sugar levels and stuff. So again, it's not ever a one size fits all. Yeah, so I just need to bring that point across.
Understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The key takeaway is not a one size fits all, you know.
No, unfortunately, there's no magic pill. I wish we could have invented it already, but it doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't. And you mentioned nutritional habits, which are very important. So without even looking at the food someone consumes, you have them look at their habits. And
yes, that's such a big part.
Yes,
it is. I'm sure you see it in your own field as well. Because if it is that somebody wants to exercise, but they're not committed up here, then they're not going to get the results that you are already seeing for them. They have to start to see it for themselves, you know?
Very important.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's certain questions that actually come up from people. And it's very common. And for example, someone comes in and they ask you, should I eat after 6 p.m.? Because maybe they read it somewhere in a blog or an article, watch a video where someone talked about it.
Yes.
I know, for example, Daniel Craig, I follow a lot of these Hollywood stars, what they do with their training regimen as it relates to getting in shape for a movie. When he was getting in shape for James Bond, one of his regimens was he did not eat carbs after 2 p.m. And that would be a result of maybe his schedule, the trainers he was working with. And that is what he did. So what some people do now is they take those examples and they won't have that.
So yes.
As it relates to eating after 6 p.m. or even any particular time, what advice would you give someone who comes to you with that question?
Okay. First, I would look, I'm going back to the same example. I mean, I'm not much of a, I mean, I watch movies and stuff, but I don't always know the person's names, but we said Daniel Craig, right? So that's the Bond movie. Let's think about this person. He is getting paid to perform in a particular role. So therefore, he would have lots of resources available to him, whether it's actual money, whether it's food, certain types of food or specific types of food, whether it's the human resource, the trainer, the nutritionist, etc. So, of course, if it is that you have all of these really good resources, you can have very strict and very different types of diets. And when I say diet, I mean it's just how you eat usually, okay? But for most people, we don't always have all of those resources at our disposal, all right? So, for someone who is just working normally 8 to 4, you have your home responsibilities and stuff, and you don't have all those resources, I would say you have to look at, again, if you're managing any conditions. So for me as a clinician, I am going to look at, do you have acid reflux? Because if you have acid reflux and you're staying that extended period of time without eating, it's going to exacerbate your condition. If you have diabetes or if you are managing any other type of condition, we need to look at that. Also, if you're eating after 6 or whatever time, it also comes down to what you're eating. Because I tell persons, there's a big difference between eating a nice double burger or whatever it's called, and fries and the nice extra salt, extra large soft drink, as opposed to having high quality protein, so whether it's animal protein or eggs or what have you, with some vegetables. There's a big difference there. All right. So what you're eating after 6 is also very important. And my go-to rule is, if you're hungry, you need to eat. All right. So it's not good to be starving. I mean, there are different types of recommendations out there, the intermittent fasting and stuff. And all of those things have their merit, but they don't work for everyone. So again, it always depends. But more important than the fact that you're actually eating is what you're eating after 6.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned carbs, you mentioned high quality foods. So yes, there are people who say they would come to me, and I know they'll come to you as well, I need to stop eating carbs. I need to cut my carbs because their goal is to lose weight. They don't like how they look. They don't like how they feel. Yes. And they've come to the conclusion, not on their own, but as a result of what they see out there.
Mm-hmm.
They tell themselves, carb is the enemy. I need to.
Yes. There's someone I know who said carbs is the devil.
Yeah. I get overweight looking at carbs.
It's just attached to you, right? Again, it comes back to educating yourself. Now, we are from the Caribbean, and as a dietitian in the Caribbean, I use the Caribbean food groups. So if you're familiar with it, or if you want to go looking for it online, you would see that we have 6 Caribbean food groups. So the food groups are staples, legumes, and you have your foods from animals, then you have your fruits, your vegetables, and your fats and oils. The truth is, you find carbohydrates in all of those food groups. When most people talk about carbohydrates, they're talking about flour and flour products, whether it's bread or crisps or the equivalent, or they may be talking about fruit or added sugars. But if you are, again, taking in a lot of carbohydrates from your provision, from your rice, from your roti and all these other products, even your peas and beans have twice the amount of carbohydrates than they do protein. So when somebody says, I'm eating clean and healthy, whatever that looks like to them, and you are still having to pay attention to how many carbohydrates you're having, you need to be aware of these things. So carbs are not the enemy. The excess of carbs is the enemy. And yes, intermittent fasting and low-carb diets do work for some people, but they may not work for everyone. Additionally, the verdict for myself is still out with respect to low-carb diet and intense exercise, because you do need carbohydrates for energy. And yes, you can use your fat as a fuel, but I'm not convinced in terms of the sustainability, in terms of intense aerobic exercise. So that's all I'll say on that.
Thank you. Now, one of the key things, or one of the common threads that is usually that's occurring now in our conversation, is that everyone's body is different, and what may work for one person may not work for another. And I remember having a conversation with someone who's a powerlifter. They actually powerlifted for Trinidad, and he mentioned he does some of his workouts early in the morning without eating anything. Now, for those of you who don't know, the sport of powerlifting requires you to lift a lot of weight, more weight than the average person in the gym would be accustomed to doing. So for him, that's what he did. I actually was surprised when he said that. So the question, you know, some people ask, some people think if they work out on an empty stomach, they would tap more into their fat stores and they would lose weight. Others say they can't work out on an empty stomach. They must get something in their stomach before they eat. How would you address, you know, that question with someone saying, I am going to work out on an empty stomach, or should I work out on an empty stomach?
I would say it depends on the type of activity, because powerlifting and running, for example, are two different types of activities. And your body, again, coming back to the science of it, your body does have a very limited capacity to store carbohydrates. So you do have, when you wake up in the morning, you should have some, but very little, carbohydrate stored, because your body is using that stored carbohydrate while you sleep to keep your heart beating and your brain functioning and your ability to breathe, etc. So you do have some. So some people, they wouldn't want to eat, because eating before they go to a run, for example, may make them upset, or they get cramps or nausea, abdominal cramping, all these things. And some people, they prefer to go running because eating maybe a certain type of food, because it gives them more energy. All right. So the person, you would have to know what kind of activity you're doing, and again, what you're going to eat, because like very high fiber foods aren't recommended just before you go to eat, to run or what have you. With respect to the powerlifting, I mean, I could see the sense in it in not eating, because he'd be using more of his, because as you would know, exercise is a form of injury, of light injury to the body. So if he's injuring his body just a little bit, he has a greater capacity to heal and, of course, build the same muscle that he wants. So I could see the science behind it, but again, it comes onto the individual. That being said, you can train your body to accommodate certain things. I used to do aerobic competitions, and we used to eat a boiled potato just before we went to do the competitions. And as you might know, they last for like one hour. But the potato used to give us the energy we needed to last until the end of the competition. So again, you can train your body. So it depends, again.
And it depends as well, too, I believe, with the time with which you have your food.
Yes.
So if you're going to work out at 6 a.m. and you get up at 5:30, there's a half an hour window. So you may not want to have a big meal, maybe a spoonful of peanut butter or something just to get some sugar. So
yes,
many different factors. It's not always...
And also the fact too, as you mentioned that, because it's a good point, the fact too that it depends as well on if you're going to be taking in any kind of nutrition during the exercise. So whether it's an electrolyte replacement or what have you. But that's a good point.
Yes, there are many supplements out there you could take while you're working out.
Yeah.
You mentioned fiber. Does it have to do with the fact that it takes a while to digest, and when you work out, the blood goes to your muscle. So foods maybe you eat an apple half an hour with the skin and everything is...
Yeah, there's certain foods you want to avoid. So you want to look for foods that are not... So peanut butter, even, again, you can train your body to use peanut butter half an hour, but it's not something I would recommend unless, again, you train your body because of its high fat content, and fats take the longest to leave the stomach. So you would find that you might get, if you burp or you bring up that taste or flavor of the peanut butter or something, whatever, oily. So we're looking at simple to digest carbohydrates. So whether it's some kind of fruit juice, whether it's some kind of white bread or something that's a jam, like white bread and jam, something very light, only boiled potato, as I mentioned, but nothing greasy or too oily, and nothing that is too high in fiber.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, nothing too high in fiber. But, you know, you're mentioning a lot of good stuff here. The questions that people have over and over that keep popping up, when should I eat? What should I eat before I work out?
Yes.
So that's actually a good question, you know, that I'm sure you get as well. What do you recommend for somebody before they work out to eat and after they work out?
After they work out. So again, depending on the type of activity and how conditioned you are as an athlete or someone who exercises as recreational purposes, you want to make sure that you're actually eating properly. So you don't want to be fasting, whether for religious reasons or what have you, and then go do a marathon, right? You have to fuel your body. It's just like the same car we used earlier on. You have to fuel your body properly. So there is something called carbohydrate loading, but it's typically what like athletes may do for competition and stuff, but for persons who are recreational exercisers, we want as much as possible to eat properly. So making sure you're getting your protein, making sure you're getting your fruits and vegetables in, making sure you're getting your staples in, and using the Caribbean food groups. And of course, if you eat peas and beans, that you have those. So before you exercise, so let's say you're going to exercise in the afternoon time, you want to make sure your last meal should be around 2-3 for the latest. So if you're starting at 5, you should 2-3, maybe 4 with the latest of a push if you haven't had a chance to eat earlier. All right, so that should be your last major meal so that your body has some time to start digesting. Because digestion doesn't happen like that. Your body takes at least 24 hours to digest a meal. So you don't want something that is heavy on your stomach and it stays there. So you can have whatever you eat for lunch. And then right before you exercise, you wouldn't need anything immediately. Because remember, you would have been eating, or hopefully you would have been eating properly throughout the day. After you exercise, the typical recommendation is that you have something within a half hour, a simple carbohydrate, or something like with protein, like whey protein. You don't need to buy any expensive supplements. You can have a fruit, all right, some kind of fruit juice if you want to have one of those, what do you call those? Not a supplement, like those electrolyte drinks, sorry. You can have those, but you know, I'd recommend fruit or something like yogurt afterwards. But some people don't feel like eating, because when your body temperature increases, it stunts your appetite, it may make you feel nauseous. And you don't want something too hot or too cold. You want it cool, all right? Because when it's too cold again, it wouldn't pair well with your body because of the increased temperature, all right? So that's, in a nutshell, what you could have before and after, yeah? But I would emphasize more, not just, okay, I'm going to exercise, so I have to eat X, Y, and Z, but how have I been eating throughout the day or yesterday, for example? That would, for me, would be more important than getting the exact things right before you eat. Yeah.
A really important point, you know, and we're wrapping up here. You mentioned the person's body temperature, because many times I've spoken to individuals who say after they finish workout, they're not feeling to eat.
Yes.
I'm not hungry. And it's true. In terms of the temperature of the food, when you finish working out, you have an elevated temperature. So you actually do prefer something that's cool. If you're going to drink something, you actually don't want very cold water. You want to not very warm and not very cool, kind of in between. And even with foods, of course, your body's elevated. So you don't really want anything hot. Maybe when your body cools down, that's you actually want something to eat. So that's really brings to mind, even personally for myself, after working out, not really that hungry, maybe the best thing would be a shake.
I'm not going to say that again, eating and watching your weight and all these things, you have to plan. I mean, it doesn't happen just like that. I keep telling clients that it doesn't happen just like that. You have to prepare. What am I going to eat tomorrow? What's my next meal? What am I going to do afterwards? So you can put things in place, because if you don't put things in place, you're going to end up doing the same thing all over again. And as somebody I know says, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results is insanity, right? So we don't want to be insane, right? So we need to put things in place. So you have to know, okay, I'm exercising. I want to make sure I'm feeding and fueling my body after exercise well, so I make sure I have my shake. And you don't need to buy a shake. If you want to, feel free. But you make your own peanut punch, or you make a banana punch. And again, with these things, make sure you're balancing the protein content, because most times when people tell me they're making their smoothie, they put the oats, they put the banana, the pineapple, and they go to whatever store and they buy the frozen fruits, and I don't hear anything about protein. All I'm seeing is carbohydrates, all right? And you need to put enough protein in there so your shakes aren't bad, but you have to use wisdom with it.
Correct. So there's so many things you mentioned just now that we could actually do another episode. For example, you mentioned they only eat carbs after they work out, but you need protein. The next question is how much protein is enough. So we stick a pin in there. And just before we wrap up, what do you want to leave with everyone? Where can somebody find you if they need to reach out to you, if they need to use your services? Do you have a website, social media? Let them listeners know so that they can reach out to you?
Okay, so you would find me on social media. I'm trying to get up with the times. I was just telling Kian before we started that, you know, I'm not always aware of everything that's out there, but I'm trying to get out there a little more in terms of the social media. So I am on Facebook. My business name is Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy. You will also find me on Instagram under the same name. You would find me on LinkedIn as well as, I think that's it for now, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. Yeah, and you can contact me via WhatsApp on 345-3402. That's where you would find me. All right. And what I would leave with you is that when it comes to your health and nutrition, it's not just what you eat. We have many other factors that impact your nutrition, but it is possible to be healthy, your vision of healthy, taking into consideration all the factors that we mentioned earlier. You can achieve that state and that balance of health. So it is possible.
Okay, folks, so thank you for listening to the Supreme Holistic Fitness Podcast, and we're going to wrap up here. Most likely, there's going to be a part two. Thanks.
And three quick things before we wrap up. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review and share this episode. And if you'd like to join a growing online fitness community, you can become a part of my Facebook group and follow me on Instagram. Lastly, subscribe to my blog and get a free copy of my ebook, 7 Steps to Actually Crush Your Fitness Goals. My goal is to help transform you using a changed mindset, good nutrition, and effective exercise without sacrificing your time and helping you to stay consistent. Talk to you soon.